What if today we heard something that changed our life forever? Okay, so like you've only heard me say maybe 100 times or 1,000 times that I was a drug dealer when I met Jesus. I was 20 years, 9 days old. I want you to think about 20 years, 9 days old. You know, it was back when I thought my parents didn't know anything and I knew everything. And why don't they let me run the world? Because I've got it all figured out. You know, I'm sorry. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. We were all stupid, right? Okay. I don't like that word, but that's the only best word I know to describe it. I mean, proud and stupid. And God loved us so much, He didn't kill us. He said, go for it. And when you fall on your face, I'm going to be right here. So I meet Jesus, and I am blown away. Because, you know, I told you 6 different denominations have baptized me by the time I'm 19. So think about that. It didn't just happen. Like, I didn't go from church, hey, can I get baptized? I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I wasn't that stupid, But as I went to churches with different people for different reasons, Boy Scouts, friends, parents, whatever, and I would ask all these questions because they would talk about things as if I knew and I didn't know, and I'm not like most people. I'm not just going to sit there and act like I know. You're talking about Abraham. Who's Abraham? Does he go here? Is he your neighbor? I don't know who Abraham is. So they tell me about Abraham. Okay, I got it. And they keep on talking about Sarah. Who is Sarah? And I would interrupt so many times wherever I went. They would ask me to please be quiet and wait to the end. And then they would talk to me. And I remember at one place as a teenager, they all gathered around me, about 20 of them. And they start shooting questions at me about God. And I could answer the questions because I'd been in church. I'd listened. I could make really good grades, A's and B's, in school without even trying. I've got a photographic memory. I could memorize things real easy. So I would listen. So I had all these facts in my head. Kind of like what they do with you in school. Here, little minor bird. We're going to teach you this. Now, little minor bird, tell me what was on the paper. That's not learning. You don't even remember it next week. You're cramming the night before, right before the test, trying to read it all and remember so you can put it down on a piece of paper so you can get a passing grade. You didn't learn. You know what learning is? Like what Jesus did. I love it. Matthew 16, verse 13. He says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, Jesus asked questions about what do you think? And some of y'all don't like me. And you didn't like me when you first met me, Glenn. I didn't like that guy. Why? Because he's got a big nose. He's stuck it in my business. He asked me a bunch of questions. He said stuff to me that made me uncomfortable. Why? Was I trying to be a pest? Was I trying to get on your here? My goal is to get on your nerves. Is that what you think? You see, when I see somebody and I'm standing in line at the bank and the guy's got his tag or a woman has their tag sticking out or his tie's over here or the hair's sticking out and I know he doesn't realize it. I say something to them. All the rest of y'all can be afraid if you want and worry about what they think about you. I care about the person. I don't care. You don't have to like me. I want to help you. And God's like, I'm going to help you whether you like me or not. I'd like you to like me, but I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. I didn't know God. I knew all these facts about God. And many of you know facts about God. But when did you meet Him? Did you meet Him? Do you know Him? Because if you met Him, well, I don't know when. Whenever somebody says that to me, I'm always like, how could you not know when you met God? He's a creator, and you're walking through life in darkness and misery and despair and lost, and all of a sudden you meet the light of life, you meet the creator, your creator, and how do you not know when that was? Now, I don't mean you have to say like me, I got saved July 1st, 1976, 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday. You don't have, but ask God if you're not sure, because I'm trying to help you. Because otherwise you're going to struggle. The devil's going to use this as a place to trip you. Ask God. God, if I'm one of your children, would you please take me back to the time or the place where I met you? And you're going to remember if it happened in your life when you met Him and didn't just go to church. Church is not a club, by the way. But people treat it like, well, I'm a member of a church. I go to the club. I dress like the club members. I know all the club jargon. Christianese, can say all the words. Is that what makes somebody a Christian? If so, I don't want whatever that is, because that did not help me. But when I met Jesus, like I remember when I met her, January 23rd, 1977. I remember. She didn't just come in my life. No, it was like everything in my life. You know? It was a happening. It was an explosion. So I'm saying to you today, each one of you as if you're 20 years and 9 days old. Would you listen today? And by the way, this is for each and every time you come to church, or when somebody's talking to you about God, or you're just simply walking through life every day. What goes on around you is important. What's being said? God, if you are a believer, there is no such thing as an accident in your life. They are divine appointments. Every single person I meet, I'm aware this is God. And that's why I witness to so many people. I'm not trying. I used to try. Now I don't even try to witness. My focus, His presence. I'm just looking at Him. He's looking at me. We're hanging out. He's loving on me. Oh, Harv. And as we're hanging out, I'm like, I wake up every morning. Good morning, Jesus. It's not my life. It's yours. You paid for it. What would you like to do today? How would you like to spend this life since your life was cut short because of me? How about if I give you my life? How would you, what would you like to, and He says, let's go do some tubs. That's what God says. Let's go do some tubs. He says, when I want to do something else, I'll let you know. So every day I know I'm supposed to go do tubs. I don't have to have Him say every day, let's go do the tub, Harv. I said it yesterday. Let's say it again. He doesn't have to do that. That's a lesson you need to learn. You ready? What is the last thing you know God told you? When He changes His mind, He'll let you know. He knows your name, address, and phone number. When He changes His mind, He'll let you know. And until then, move on the last marching orders you know He gave you. It'll make your life much easier and more secure instead of you always wondering, am I going the right way? Why is all this happening to me? All this stuff we go through. I can tell you what that is. It starts with an S and it ends with stupid. Okay? Why live that way? We want to live in His presence, full of joy, peace, the smile of Jesus. Yes? Anybody else? I see one hand. I see two. I see three. I see four. Four people. Isn't that cool? God, I want to hear what You want me to hear today. I want whatever You want. Sue comes out this morning. She says, well, He didn't give me anything. Sometimes when she says that, I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah. Today when she said that, I was like, uh-huh. God's like, uh-huh, you're going to talk. So if I can only get my notes to come up here. Okay, I'll do it in there. Nope, can't do it there. Go back. Okay. So I'm going to give you an overview of being lost to walking with God. Every person on the planet goes through this to some degree. Every single person. And you're going to find yourself in this list somewhere. Okay? Number one, someone hears the preaching of the gospel. Number two, they have to deal with what they hear. They see their condition in sin. They realize their inability and hopelessness in themselves. And then they can see Jesus as their only hope. Number three, then they repent toward God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own personal Savior. Now, this is if somebody accepts Christ. There's some people that they come in contact with their sin, but they don't want to look at it. So my question is, do you want truth? I'm asking each individual in this room, do you really want truth? Because some people's life's motto is, I already know what I believe. Don't interrupt it. I don't want to hear the truth. I already know what I believe. But do you know that every one of us is in error? Every one of us has mistakes in our life, in our thinking, in our beliefs, and in our actions. Are you aware of that? Every one of us in this room, on this planet. People say to me every day, I hear these words, you are right. Because I'm talking to them about God and truth, sharing something with them. And people say to me every day, you're right. And for years, I used to think I was right. So I walked around, guess what? In pride. I was King Pride. Strutting, dude, I'm right. And I got verses. And I've memorized all these verses. And I know truth. And I am the truth man. And then God helped me to realize, Harvey, you're never right. He said, I'm always right. And so I say to people, when they say, you're right, I said, you know, I'm not right. Hopefully, I presented a truth. I said, I just want to be in oneness with God because He's always right. I said, I'm never right. Because when I think I'm right, I'm full of pride. I don't ever want to be right again. I just want to be in agreement with God. And I'm only in agreement with God when He says I am and have peace that way. So that's what I'm saying to you. Are you willing to ask God, am I right? Is there something I'm missing? That's how we can walk with God. So these steps I'm giving are people that come to meet Jesus. They hear the gospel, see their sin, realize their helplessness, see Jesus, repent toward God, and believe on Jesus to be their own personal Savior. number five or whatever. Then they obey God's command to be baptized publicly. They join the local church and they get discipled. Oh, we've all done that. And then they spend time getting to know the real God and begin to believe what he says instead of what they feel or what others say. They learn to let God live his life through them. They help others by sharing what Jesus is doing in themselves, and they help to bring others to Jesus. And in that way, they build God's kingdom. I could share this with many, 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 many Christians. Maybe lots of Christians. Maybe most Christians. Maybe all Christians. And they would say, yep, that's what I'm doing. Yep, I know that. Yep, I understand that. And I would ask them a couple of questions, which people don't always like me asking the questions because for some reason it makes you have to think. And it's what God told me. And I know it sounds funny, but I say to people, he gave me a big nose so I'd stick it in other people's business. And he helped me to understand, Harvey, because I asked him, why? Why can't I just blend? Why do I feel this need to do this all the time? He said, because I made you to do this. Because others won't. Because they want them to like them so much, they care more about that than wanting me to like what they're doing. So when I want them to say a truth, they don't want to say it because they don't want to hurt your little feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings either. But I would rather hurt your feelings. The Bible says, faith. This morning, Roxanne said something to me. I didn't want to hear it because I don't know what to do about it. She said, Herb, or Pastor, or whatever she called me. Hey, boy. Your face is all broke out. You got these things all over your face. Are you allergic to something? I said, I don't know. So then others around the table, yeah, John, yeah, look, they're all over your face. Maybe I'm allergic to soap. I don't know. But what am I supposed to do? Get mad at the mailman for pointing it out? Or do I say, okay, it's a truth. She's not telling to hurt me. I believe she loves me. I believe the guy loves me. But it's a truth. And maybe I'm not aware. And I'm not aware because up in my little dark bathroom, I don't see it. And then I come down in this bright light and y'all want to point out things. Okay. I don't like hearing it any more than you like hearing it. But it's like, what are we going to do with it? Right? No! That's what I'm saying. You don't need to be. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We have people in our lives we think are our friends, like at school. They're not our friends. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend may say things you don't want to hear. But they love you. And they're your friend, good times, bad times. See, I thought I had a lot of friends when I was in drugs because I had a lot of money, because I made a lot of money. And so I had all these things. But when I had heartaches and pains and things in my life and needed help, my car was broke down, I couldn't find them. They're not really my friends. They were people who used me. And there's a lot of people like that. Because that's where they are in the stage of life. So we need to realize these things. So I'm just going to say today, what if you heard one thing that actually changed your life? I just gave you an outline, an overview, but now I'm going to do it as I wrote it in my little notes, amplified and explained. Someone hears the preaching of the gospel. You know what the gospel is? The death, burial, and resurrection. That's the good news of God. I died for you because you needed me to, because otherwise you'd have to die. and your death would be eternal. I was buried because I took all your sin and it killed me. And I buried them. I didn't hang them out for everybody to see. I buried them. When you come to me, I'll bury them. And then, the same way I got up from the dead, you can get up from your dead life when you come to me and be raised to live a whole new way. So someone hears the preaching of the gospel. They see their condition in sin and realize their inability and feel hopelessness in themselves. And then they can see Jesus for who he really is and trust in him as their only hope. Let's explain that. They see their condition in sin. They realize they're hopeless to stop sinning. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Have you stopped sinning? I'm sorry. Have you stopped sinning? I haven't. How many times has he had me stand up? Hi, I'm the pastor. Remember when we had the building? He had me do this. God kept telling me. It's not because I wanted to stand up and say, hi, I'm a bad guy. Hi, I'm the pastor. If you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'm going to let you down. Because I'm a good example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Now, for me, that gives me hope. Here's a guy God has leading me. Obviously, he knows a little bit more than me. Obviously, he walks with God. But this guy's standing up saying, hey, I'm not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the sinner that needs Jesus. And guess what? I need Jesus every day. Wow, maybe this guy can help me get closer to Jesus just like he does because he's honest. Instead of standing up there like a proud peacock and acting like he's above sin. And when we do that, we don't help people. We are not perfect. We have not quit sinning. And somebody to get saved has to realize, I can't stop sinning because I really can't change what's in my heart. And then they realize, and I can't settle my own sin debt with God and find true peace in myself. I can try to forget it, but if you can really have peace with God, how come when somebody like me asks you a question, and then you can't look them in the eye and you don't want to think about it? It's because you don't have peace. You don't have confidence with God. I want to have confidence with God. Folks, none of you started as low as I did. I love a song where it says, when he reached down his hand for me. Sorry for the, if it doesn't sound exactly real good, but this is the way I remember the song. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God's precious Son. When he reached down his hand for me, because he had to reach way down for me. And I'm like, here I am 20 years old, 9 days old, thinking I knew everything, full of pride. And then I come face to face with my sin in Jesus as I read the Bible. And I'm like, oh my word. And then as I was honest about my sin, and nobody was talking to me. I'm reading the Bible. So God was talking to me. But nobody you could see, because I couldn't handle y'all talking to me. Because I was so full of pride, you couldn't get through. Because I was a knucklehead. Okay? See, I come up with all these little sayings. I was a knucklehead too. See, a little names. Okay? And when I saw my sin, because as I was reading about the life of Jesus and seeing all these people come to Jesus, I'm like, are you kidding? Like every one of them, I was them. I was blind. I was a leper. I was unclean. I was dead, you know? And it's like, and here's Jesus loving every one of these people. And I'm like, I bet he would love me. But I didn't love me. I didn't like me. I did things I wasn't happy about. I did things that made me ashamed. I hurt my parents. I hurt other people. I hurt myself. I compromised truth. And then I see Jesus. And I'm like, I have never met anybody like this. man. And then I see him on the cross. And I am not kidding. I read, Father, he's like saying to these people that are spitting on him. And he's like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I hear this voice in my head, Father, forgive Harvey, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And I just burst out bawling like a baby. Oh, God, that's so true. And I'm just crying. And I couldn't put the Bible down. I just was captured by this lovely Jesus. And then they see, you see, it's at that point when we see Jesus for who he really is, God in the flesh without any sin. When one is able to see themselves in Jesus clearly and truly, then and only then are they able to believe, that is to trust and depend on Jesus as they choose him to be their Savior, their only hope. And they repent toward God and believe on Jesus. What does that mean? I want God, not the ways of sin anymore. It's not I'm promising to quit sinning. It's like I don't want it in my life anymore. I want you and your ways. And then they choose, they depend on Jesus to be their Savior. They ask Jesus to forgive them, realizing that they are the one who caused his death with their sin. Jesus, I killed you. I realize that. And then they choose to trust in him and accept their Savior, their deliverer. I see, you got up from the dead. You died for my sin. And then you got up from the dead. And now you're saying, hey, Harv, if you give me your sin, I'll bury it and I'll raise you up. And without anybody teaching me that, just in my spirit, I understood that. Because that's what God does with everybody who comes to him. Do you remember that? See, you may not have all understood it all clearly, but God's had me, I think, say some of this for us to get it. Because I'm like, Lord, a lot of times you go through your Christian life and it's like, I don't understand what's going on. Yeah? Well, I'm trying to say some things to help you understand what's going on. Okay? I see. I want you to be my Savior, Jesus, my deliverer. The only one who can deliver me both from the penalty of sin, death, and the power of sin. You can break the power of sin in my life and give me victory. And because of that, whoa, I'm all excited. Jesus comes to live inside of me. And so what we do is, what's next, Jesus? He said, I want you to get baptized. I want you to show everybody that you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of me on the cross for you. You're identifying with me. You're saying, I'm taking his side. I believe and trust in Jesus because I only want Jesus living in me. And that's why somebody gets baptized. And when they get baptized publicly, what ends up happening is, according to the Bible, they become a member. Okay, glory. Now, let's go back so I can read it. I got notes here. Notes, come up, please. I know they're my notes, and I can preach them, but... Okay, got it. Got it. Give me a second here. Yeah, but I like the way he's got it in there. I know they're all my notes, but I just like the way it's all worded. So when we become a member of the church, that's God's body, by the way. Church is God's body. It's not a building. You don't go to church. You're part of the church. Okay? You meet together. You encourage one another. You hear the word of God, the truths of God. You find other people that are saying, hey, I'm struggling. This is what I'm struggling with. And you're going, yeah, I struggle with that too. But see, we need to be honest. Because If you just give a testimony when everything's good, you don't help everybody because they are going through struggles every day and they need to know that you're going through struggles too. Hey, I'm in the midst of a struggle. This is what I'm going through. And then the people come alongside of you and go, aw, and love on you because they're family and they're there for you and they care. Okay? And they'll pray for you when they're not together with you to encourage you. Do you need people to pray for you? Because I do. Guess what? I'm getting ready to go through a struggle. I've already been going through a struggle. Brother Glenn goes, are you excited? Are you pumped? And I'm thinking, what about? And because I'm not pumped. See, I bought a house. And we're going to flip the house. Means we're going to fix it up and then sell it for more money. Well, when God told me, oh, I'm going to have you do flips. Well, I just thought that meant buy a house, fix it up, like others that I've talked to, and just make money. And God's like, go ahead, Harv, buy the house. So I buy the house. And then God's like, okay. Basically, God's like, you're not in charge, Harv. Now, I've done about everything on a house but build one from scratch. I've done roofs. I've done drywall. I've done you name it. I've done a whole lot of stuff. But God's like has me real busy doing tub glaze, and I'm wore out every day, and I am a little bit older with 10 great-grandkids, and my body doesn't do stuff like it used to, and my legs hurting just from standing up for a few minutes here. And I can't do stuff like I used to. So God's like, okay, now you have the house. How's it going to be rebuilt? And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know. How's it going to do? And he's like, just keep praying. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to bring the people to you. So without me telling my son-in-law, Eric, Eric finds out that I bought this house and I'm going to remodel it. And because I'm praying for about 5 months, about this, just praying, saying, God, I don't know how to do it. I used to know how to do everything because I was 20 years, 9 days old, and I knew everything. But now I've found out that I don't know everything anymore. So, God, how am I supposed to do this? He says, why don't you ask me? And then he says, why don't you give it to me and quit touching it? That's not easy for me to do. I like to be in charge. Have you ever noticed? I like to control the conversation. I like to control the TV. Who in the living room holds the controllers? Sue said this week, do you know if you aren't here, I can't watch TV because I've never touched the controllers. She says, I wouldn't know how to turn it on because you hold the controllers. My point is I'm struggling because I'm not in control. I'm struggling because he won't. I can't do the work. I don't have time, and I can't do the work. I'm struggling because I can't just get people to come do it. I have to keep praying and waiting until God moves on people's hearts that are willing to do it. And then they tell me they're going to do it, and then I'm not sure they're going to be there. Okay? And so I worry. And then when I worry, is that where God wants us to live, and worry and fear? Then why do we live there? Okay, and so then I come back and I say, okay, God, I'm not going to think about it. I'm giving it to you. Will you please take care of it? And he says, I got it. That's what he says. I'm glad he didn't say it like that. But basically, still, he's like, will you give it to me? And I'm like, yeah. He says, then quit picking. One day I'm worrying, right? And I'm fretting. You ever done that with God? You're mumbling. You're whining and mumbling. And he says to me, do you trust me? I said, yeah. He said, then why do you keep worrying about it? He said, if you really trust me, and you know what? From that day forth, you ask her, it's been like different for me. Something that just became alive, and up until then I was worrying and fretting, and I was like bothering everybody around me had anything to do with it. You need to do this and you need to do that. I want you to do this. Do we need Jesus? Remember earlier I said, do we want truth? How much truth do we want? Are we really willing to look at the truth? Are we going to get mad at the mailman who brings us the truth that we have to look at? Okay, so now, do we want Jesus? Do we need Jesus? See, we need him more than we realize. But he's so kind and patient, he allows us to move at whatever rate of speed and whatever level we're going to live at. But we live in fear and worry and anxiousness and groaning and complaining and mumbling and doubting God. You know why we doubt God? Because he doesn't do what we want. You know what he had to help me understand? He said, Harvey, you need to write these words down. So I wrote them down. And he says, now you need to pray them. I said, okay. He says, now you need to believe them. So here's the words. You ready? He said, I am God, and you are not. He said, I am God, and you are not. I am God, and you are not. Do you trust me? Because he says, my goals aren't your goals in this Christian life. He said, you know what most people's goals are? You know what your goals are? A lot of people. You know what your goals are? Two words. Comfortable and happy. I want to be comfortable and I want to be happy. Did you say you wanted to be like Jesus? I'm just asking. Have you ever said that? I want to be like Jesus? Is there anybody in here who hasn't said that that's bold enough to hold your hand up and tell me that? So I'm going to assume everybody said I want to be like Jesus. Have you said that? Okay, you ready? So let's look at the life of Jesus. Did he win all the popularity contests? Oh, so everybody didn't like him? Oh. He was true to the Father. Father God. He was true to truth. He was true to virtue. But he wasn't true to despairing everybody's feelings and giving them what they wanted. Right? Was he comfortable? My Bible says that he had not where to lay his head. He didn't have a house. Next time you complain about your house, because we've all done it, where did Jesus live? Said he had not where to lay his head. He didn't have a house. He didn't know where his next meal was coming from. Sue, did we have that happen to us down in Texas? 1987, went to start our first church. There were seven of us. Janiah, another daughter, three other kids, Sue and I. And we take off from Michigan, 1987, to start a church. And we had $150 a month support. My car payment was, trying to remember, it was a little bit more than that. It was like $160 a month that we took with us. How are we supposed to live, seven of us, going to start a church? God didn't say go down to Texas 1,800 miles where you don't know anybody, out in the middle of nowhere near Mexico, where they all talk funny, okay? and get a job at McDonald's and while you're starting a church. He didn't tell me to do that. He said, go down there and start a church. Okay, Lord. And we had $150 a month support. We didn't know where our next meal was coming from all the time. And we never went without. One time we got down to where everything we had in the cupboard, I'm talking about ketchup, everything could be fit in a box about this size with room left over. Because God had us put it all in a box and give it away to somebody in our church who was poorer than we were. Sue, I say, Sue, go get them some food. While I was ministering to them in the room, she comes out with this little box with this stuff in it. I said, Sue, that's not enough. She said, it's all we have in the house. So I reached in and started trying to take some stuff out. Remember? Because I thought, we can't give everything. And it was like, there ain't enough to take out. We gave away everything we owned down to zip. And there were 7 of us to eat the next morning. How are we going to live? We never went without a meal. As a matter of fact, the very next day, I went to a prayer breakfast, and there was a bunch of men there, and they said, we'd like you to go over to the church. And I went over to the, I said, well, I'm real busy. And they said, no, you got to go. So I go over to the church building, and I'm following the pastor, and we're walking down a hallway, and we pass this room, and I look in there, and there's all this food stacked up, as high as me, but, you know, stacked up, all these cans and boxes. I'm looking, going, what is that? And I bumped into him because he stopped, and he kind of had this little smile on his face like a Cheshire cat, you know, looking at you. And I go, what's that? He goes, the people in our church have been praying for years for a church to get started in the town where you're starting a church. And our people love you and your family. And they started bringing food in for y'all. And they said, all that food is for you. And I had a car, remember? It was a Ford Tempo, I think. It was a Tempo, right there, right? It wasn't a Taurus. It was below that. There was so much food, I couldn't get it all in the car. I mean, I filled the car, but there was like a whole lot more, like another carload. So a guy in the church took the church van, and we loaded all the food in there. And then he followed me 45 miles to deliver it to my house. So I pull up, true story. If I tell you the truth again, I'll let you know. I pull up before him. Most people don't drive as fast as I do. Except some that go 80. Okay. And I walk in the house and I don't tell Sue all this food's coming. I don't tell her anything about the food. And she says, Harvey, while you were gone, since we didn't have anything in the cupboards, I thought it was a good time to clean the cupboards. So I cleaned them all, repapered them, and, I thought you did. Okay. She cleaned them all, and I said, what are we going to do? Here's a list of $100, and it's not even food. It's just like ketchup and mustard and mayo and whatever, you know what I mean? That kind of junk, whatever, condiments, whatever you call them, stuff you need, salt, pepper. I took her by the hand. I didn't tell her there was food out in the car. And we knelt down, and I said, oh, God! They could supply Elijah when there was no food and you could feed the children of Israel out in the desert. Here we are, Lord, and we have nothing. Would you please supply? We're trusting in you, Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, it was something like that. We stand up and the guy came to the door. He got to the house, came to the door. She goes, who's that? She goes, there's a van pulling up in front. I said, I don't know. What is it? It took 3 of us 15 minutes just to unload the truck and bring it into the kitchen, right? There was so much food, Now, I was making about $1,000 to $1,500 a week at GM before we left. Okay? Michigan. Now we're down in Texas with $150 a month support. Okay? And Sue figured out the cost of all that food, added it all up, and she said, Harvey, at our best time with you making all the money you made, we never had this much food. With six kids, we never had this much food in our house at any one time. Now, can God do anything? But we think we carry him in our pocket. He's so little. We need to take care of him because he can't take care of us. We worry. God's goals, what do you think God's goals are? Our goals are comfortable and happy. What do you think God's goals are if you put it into two goals? Have any idea? How about if I give you two? Love. That's really good. Sorry, I probably should have three. Okay, that's good. Let me tell you what I think his two goals are. Faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And Christ-likeness. He wants us to be just like Jesus. So what does it take to build faith in our lives? See, we can trust God when we have the food in our house. And then we can tell everybody. What about when we don't have the food? Would you have been able to give the food away the night before if that was all you had? Sorry, I'd like to help you, but I can't. I don't have enough. I'm not saying it because we're good. I'm saying it because of where God brought us at the time. We're all growing up in God. Are we in first grade with God? Are we in third grade? Are we in fifth grade? Have we got into middle school yet? How about high school? Anybody in college with God yet? See what I'm saying? We're all growing. And it's okay. I love the little first graders and the fourth graders. Okay? I don't love him more because he's a teenager. As a matter of fact, I have a challenge because he's a teenager. No, it's okay. But I'm saying it's not like I love him more because he's older and is further. You love everybody where they're at. That's what God does. He loves us where we're at, even when we're messing up. Even when we're failing. We think we're failing. And God's like, I love this saying. You may have heard me say it before, but maybe you haven't heard the whole saying. I tell people all the time, we tell people in our church, you don't get to fail. You just get to keep repeating until you get it. And we're just going to keep loving you to Jesus until you do. Without giving you the look. How about that? Now, wouldn't it be neat if this was a safe place and you could come here and be completely open and real in front of everybody and not have to worry about the look, not have to worry about somebody trying to straighten you out, and you could tell them. And now, sometimes we're just in self-pity and we need somebody to tell us, hey, Lord, we want to just break agreement with all these spirits that are not you, you know, and kick them out. But what if we love one another while we're even going through those spirits? Let's love one another. Because we need to see people through God's eyes and have God's heart for them. And because we don't do that without him, do we? But we want to do that, and we'd sure like to experience that, wouldn't we? Isn't it nice to be loved and accepted for who you are instead of what you do? If you perform, and if you don't perform, give you a look, talk about you. So God's goals, so he allows things in our life that are hard. Here, Harv, I want you to do flips. I want you to go buy a house. We're going to do flips. I'm just thinking we're going to make more money. I honestly thought, I said, why, Lord? We're already making, you know, you're already taking good care of us. Yeah, I want you to do flips. I'm like, okay. So he works out a deal. We buy this house. And then he's like, now, you can't do it. You can't do any of the work. You can't figure it out. You can't run it. Lord, I just spent all this money. Yep. What if you lose it, Harv? What if it doesn't go the way? And what if you go $100,000 in debt where you thought you were going to make money and now you're going to lose everything? Does that sound fun? Yeah. Did you hear what she said? Again, because he's done that with us. Here, I'm leading you this way, and then we lose everything and are in debt and taken 7 years to get out of debt. And people say, why don't you file bankruptcy? And I'm like, God, can I file bankruptcy? He said, bankruptcy may be okay for other people, but it's not okay for you, Harv, because this is what I've chosen, because I have some goals. I want to develop your faith, to trust me when it doesn't go the way you want it to go, and to build Christ-likeness in you. You said you wanted to be like me. What do you think it takes? What do you think? I'm going to wave a magic wand, you all of a sudden morph into Jesus? It doesn't go like that. It's character building. So these kids are out there, and Sue is out there, and they start working on the yard. And God gives Sue all this help. But Sue can't just let the help do it. Sue feels like she needs to do it. So character building, kids. Oh, this is hard. I understand. You don't have to do it. And she talks to them. They change some mindsets. And then they get developed. So, do you really want to be like Jesus? What if it doesn't go the way you thought? I want you to look in Daniel chapter 3, and I think we start in verse 13 through 18. Okay? If I remember correctly, Daniel chapter 3, okay. Boop, boop. Somebody else read. Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Somebody would like to read that out loud.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
which were three Hebrew children that were in captivity. Another country had come, taken that whole country captive. These guys are captives. And he had told him, I want you to worship my gods. I've got this golden image that I made and I want you to worship. And they said, we don't want to worship that God. We have our own God. And he said, I am the king. You do what I say. Go ahead.
These men before the king, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
So, get the picture. Here's a king, full of pride. I think he was about 20 years, 9 days old. And thought he knew everything. And he had the title king and wanted all the world, the whole country to worship him. So he had a image made, a big golden image. And he said, this is God. I want you to bow down and worship. And he said, if you don't worship, you're going to get cast. He said, you see that hole over there? Well, inside of it is a furnace. He said, and if, he said, you know, it's what we heat the palace with. And he said, and if you don't bow down, he said, and worship this God of mine, I'm going to throw you. And they knew he was the king of the land. And so everybody's bowing down except these three Hebrew children. Okay? These three that had been taken captive from Israel. And he goes, how come everybody else is bowing down and you're not? Well, they said, well, we can't worship your God. We already have a God. And some of their friends said, but you know, all you got to do is just pretend. It's okay. God knows your heart. And they said, nah, we can't do that. And the king says, okay, listen, guys, we're going to play the music. Da-da, da-da. And when you hear it, all these instruments, the cornet, the sackbut, the psaltery. When you hear these, you know, when you hear the band, I got my rock band, and when they start playing, I want you to bow down and worship my God. And he says, and if you don't, he says, if you do it, good. You'll be like everybody else. He said, but if you don't do it, I want you to understand, I am going to throw you into that furnace. And he said, and I want you to understand. He said, you ain't going to make it. You're going to die. And he said, and what God do you think is going to deliver you out of my hand? I'm the God of this country. I'm the God of your life. You do what I say. And they said, king, we're not careful. We're not full of care to answer you about this. One way or the other, our God is going to deliver us out of your hand. Either we get to go to be with him in heaven, or he's somehow going to deliver us so we don't have to go in that furnace. But we want you to know this, king, and this is what I want you to get. This is the whole key to what we're talking about. You ready? Don't miss this. It's on the test. You ready? He says, if we get thrown in the furnace, we're still, if things don't go the way we want them to go, we're still going to worship our God. So what about when things don't go the way you want them to go? Is he still good? Oh, that was the other saying. He said, I am God and you are not. And then he said, write this one down, Harv. He said, I am good and you are not. He said, you think you're good? Your goodness doesn't even come close to mine. He said, I am good. He says, as a matter of fact, I define good. Your idea of good? Somebody says, you want a Coke? And you go, oh, no, I'm good. No, you ain't. What do you mean I'm good? It's just some saying they came up with. You ain't good. He said, I define good. So he says, do you believe I'm good when things don't go the way you want them to go? Well, I stood for God and this is what happened. Do you know that there are people, I get it on my email, ask Brother Steve, ask my wife, they all see it, I'm not making this up. There are Christians getting killed all over the world every day because they take a stand for God. Just because they say they worship Jesus. They don't have to do anything more than that. I worship Jesus. And so they're over in Nigeria getting killed. Hundreds of them. Thousands of them. Philippines. Indonesia. And it's happening every single day. I heard a true story. Some soldiers, some people were having church in a country, and soldiers burst in, doors flew up, and here's these guys standing with the guns every exit. And they said, those of you who love God, you stand up. The rest of you can leave. The majority got up and left. They put their guns down and said, good, we didn't want to worship with hypocrites. The ones who stood up said they loved God. They thought they were going to be killed because that happens all the time. But these soldiers happened to be Christians and said, we didn't want to worship with hypocrites. So the ones that don't love God, we gave them a chance to leave. So they left. You see? So what about when things don't go good? Is God still good?
Yes.
What is God doing in your life like mine? He's using this. He's using tub glaze. He uses my wife, Sue. He doesn't use people, but you know what I mean. He flows through them. But he works through my wife to develop my character in Christ-likeness. He works through some of you to develop my character, develop my patience, develop my kindness, to reveal all the sin in me. He's now using tub glaze. He's been using it for a long time. He gives me some real choice customers to help me become like Jesus. Because when I don't become like Jesus and I don't treat them right, and then he says, Harv, you think I'm smiling? Do you want my smile? Yeah. Harv, how'd you treat that? But Lord, I've got a woman. I have to go to her house tomorrow. We did a job. Steve did the job. The woman didn't pay. For some reason, Steve didn't collect on that one. Probably the woman wasn't there. So she didn't pay. So I sent her a text, and I sent her an email, and I called her, and I only did that a few times for 3 months solid. You know, like 50 or 75 times trying to contact her. I wonder how that makes you feel. I wonder if it's easy to not get upset. Okay? And she owes me $450. Now, I've already paid Steve. Steve got paid. Harvey didn't get paid. It cost Harvey money to do all the work and the materials. It was an F&F. And then pay the guy, and then I don't get paid. And it's 3 months later, and finally she answers the phone. I catch her off guard. She accidentally answered. And I am trying to be as kind as I can and said, when can I expect to get paid? And she goes, I'm not going to pay you. So my secretary is sitting there, who's a believer, Dudley's mom. And she hears me say stuff to this lady, and toward the end of it, I was getting upset, and I said, I wasn't mean, but it was obvious I was upset. And I said, fine. And I'm going to write, and in my heart I said, I'm going to write her off. I'll never get paid, and I'm going to give it to God. And God's like, Harv, I'm not going to let you live with that. Have you ever had something you just couldn't get your peace about no matter what? Have you? Well, guess what? I'm the leader. Guess what? Here I am doing it too. And I'm saying all the right words. I'm praying the right words. I know. I teach y'all. I know what to say and do. But nothing's working. Because even when you say and do the right words, it's not what God wants you to do. You understand? I want to live in peace. Do you? See, if I have peace with God and I have peace with her, everything's fine. If I have peace with God and I don't have peace with her, you know, I'd rather go live on the housetop. You know? So what I got to do to have peace with her? See what I'm saying? So I want to have peace. I want to have peace with myself. How do you have peace? So I can't figure it out. I'm praying. I'm preaching to myself. I'm giving myself all the verses and things I would say to you. I know these things. Why aren't they working? I know it's true. Why is it working? Because in my heart, I'd made a vow. I'm cutting her off. So I go talk to my wife. And my wife prays while I'm talking. Lord, what's the wisdom? He knows what I know. I know what he knows. What's the wisdom? And God goes, here's the wisdom. He can't cut her off. I put her in his life for a reason. And he's not going to have peace until he does what I want done. Well, what do you want done, God? Well, you're a Christian business owner. And you say you're a Christian and you're going to do what's right no matter what other people do. So why don't you go back and make the tub right? Because if there was some problem with it, go back and make it right, whether she pays you or not. I said, I don't ever want to see her. I don't ever want to see her. No, he had a good experience. She's a real nice lady. She works with special needs. She has a special needs son and whatever and this other person. And when I talked to her, she seemed like a really neat lady when I first talked to her, you know. It's hard to say that when somebody won't pay you. They're a really neat person. But I think she's a really nice person. I think there's just something we did that needs to be fixed. And I said, why didn't you tell me so we could come fix it? And she wouldn't answer me. So instead, I'll just avoid you for 3 months, you know. So what do you want, God? You know what I want you to do, Herb? Whether she pays you or not, because it's your business and it's your reputation, I want you to go back and do whatever it takes to make her happy, whether she ever pays you or not. And Herb, I'm like, okay, we could do that. I can send one of my guys. He goes, no, Herb. He says, I want you to go back and humble yourself and ask her to forgive you for talking to her like that and for having an attitude toward her. And I want you to humble yourself and I want you to find out and let her tell you whatever's wrong. I want you to go. And you can take one of your guys and they can do the work. But you're going to go. You have to go face her. Now, do you think I want to do that? And that's tomorrow. I get my house tomorrow, but I got to go do this tomorrow too. You think I want to go deal that? You think I want to go talk to her? You think I want to go listen to her? You think I even want to see her? Is it my life or is it his life? Do I mean the words? It's not my life, Jesus. You paid for it. What would you like to do? Well, this is what I want you to do, Harv. You said you wanted to be like me. This is going to help you be like me. I'm like, I don't want to. Let this cup pass from me. He said, didn't your wife say you were going to the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, that's what that means. I don't want to go through this. Let this cup pass from me. Didn't you say you wanted to go further? And not stay back with the other disciples? Didn't you say you wanted to go further with Jesus? Where he fell on his face and sweat, as it were, great, great drops of blood. So what is it God's put in your life? Where does God have you in the process? What is God's doing in your life? What is God's goal in your life? Is it, do you have the same goals he does? Count the cost. Are you willing to go through this his way? People are not going to treat us right. Things are not going to be the way they should. We are so blessed here in America, way beyond any country on the planet. And yet, we still have expectations. We still have desires. We still get hurt. But is it about us or is it about him? And so here's the question. Are we willing to go through what he wants us to go through his way? Because if we do, we go through it with him. If we don't, we do it without him. God loves every one of us. And God will take 40 years to work in our life to wait for us to make one choice to go one step. Or God says, you can do it faster. Just got to cooperate. Are you available? Are you willing? Am I available to God? Am I willing? He's God. I'm not. He's good all the time. I'm not. I need him. I keep going through stuff all the time. We look at somebody else's life and think, oh, I wish I had what they have. I wish my life was like theirs. I wish. We all have to go through whatever it takes. And he chooses, and he's good to us. But it's one step at a time. And it's like, what if all these things are for us to ask ourselves, do I trust him? Is he still good, even when I don't understand, even when I don't like it? Was Father God good when Jesus was on the cross? Was he good when Jesus was getting beaten? Was he good when they were nailing him? Was he good when all my sin was placed on Jesus? So was Jesus thinking he was good? Oh, yeah. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Okay? Lord, we love you. But we love you because you first loved us. And you are so good. And you are God. And we're glad to be a part of your life. And today was a hard message, and it wasn't a mamby-pamby little bless-me club message. Make me all feel good, and let's all dance around like little Mexican jumping beans. It was about, are we going through life with Jesus or without him? Do we really want him or not? You are so cool. You are so kind. You don't give us more than we can handle if we bring it to you. You do give us more than we can handle if we try to carry it on our own. Thank you, Jesus, for being so faithful. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for how you take care of us, Lord. Amen.